And welcome back to Reaction Cast, here again to do an extended discussion with the guys from Ginger Flicks. We are doing the extended discussion for WandaVision. My co-host for this one had a little too much fun last night, so tough luck for him. But once again, Joey and Josh, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, man.
Your co-host partied too hard. What the hell's going on over there in Oregon? You guys are allowed outside?
I was like, there is a thing as partying?
Like, up in Canada, we're not even allowed outside. Like, going outside is illegal right now.
You know what? We just found out, though, legit, Toronto and Peel, in the gray zone, which is what we're in, we can
we've broken things down into zones. Like,
So, like, gray zone is basically there are some stores open, and that's it. And then if you want food from like a restaurant, it's just takeout. Like, you can't sit in anywhere or anything like that.
Oh, no. As of today, sorry, Josh, I don't think you know this, but as of today, they've opened it up to dining.
Yeah, I heard that last night.
But the two regions that we live in of Ontario are still like got the highest numbers of the province.
Yeah, and we're supposed to get variants that are going to triple the numbers. Who knows?
Wow. I'm excited.
Stoked.
I can't wait. Stoked.
Very interesting. I did not know you guys had a color-coded system.
Yeah, to be locked back up in the house again. It's exciting.
Okay. We have a numerical stage system over here, and everything seems relatively... We have a 5-stage system right now. We're mostly in stage 4, so for the most part, everything's almost back to normal. But that's because people have been complaining. But
yeah,
that's the problem. I hate to say it, but I feel like that's the thing in the States. If you complain long enough, you get what you want.
Look at Florida. But
we could talk about that all day.
But, true. But let's get into what we actually are getting together for. Because you've been on our show and we've been on this show like a few times before. So let's get to it. Why did you invite us back, my friend?
Actually, I don't think, Joey, you've been on Reaction Cast. So, like everyone knows,
I've been on a bunch of your shows then, so I don't know.
That's fine. I have a lot, and there's one coming out in the near future.
You have too many shows.
Hey, that's why I have a new team. That's why I need a team. Anyways, we are here for the extended discussion for WandaVision. This is something that earlier me and Josh and my brother were talking for the mid-season discussion. As of recording this, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier just started up with its first episode. And I was looking through your catalog of shows, and I looked and listened to a couple, but you guys have not given your full review for WandaVision yet, or will you guys not be making one?
Well, we really don't do TV shows.
Yeah, we generally just do movies. So
we've kind of started one, though.
We've started just strictly for YouTube, and we're talking about the Superman and Lois show, and we're literally only doing like 5 to 10 minute videos just for that. Like, nothing long, just quick thoughts, stuff like that, because for both Joey and I, like, Superman is our favorite character, so hell, the new show is actually pretty damn good. So yeah. Oh, nice. There you go, Jesus. We'll bring you on for that one too.
Glad to hear that.
I keep saying to Josh we should do Superman Returns, and he's pushed back on that.
We may do that. I don't wanna bombard the internet with more super, because we're gonna be talking about, you know, the Snyder Cut. So
actually, that's our next episode, depending on when this drops. So it'll probably be after that episode, our episode has been put up. Mm-hmm. But so we're recording on, say, a weekend or whatever, and our episodes drop every Wednesday. So the next one coming up will be about the Snyder Cut. So check it out anyways. Yeah.
All right. So then let me hear then your kind of review on the entire miniseries that it was WandaVision. If you would have to give it a rating.
Okay, so for me, I mean, I still think it was a good show. You know, when they finally tapped into the grander scope of the Marvel universe, like, I appreciated the whole mystery surrounding the first three, like, sitcom style of episodes. You know, but we had no idea what was kind of going on. You know, obviously, you kind of got a sense. I mean, you knew something was off, but overall, before we dissect anything, I'm going to give it like an 8. I think it was good. The first couple episodes were slow, in my opinion, and I feel like they didn't need to exist as three separate episodes. And I felt like we did. There was, what, 9 episodes, 2 of which were flashbacks or primarily just not progressing the story, I guess. It was just backstory. So, yeah, I mean, it was good. I did enjoy it. And Elizabeth Olsen was great. I think she's a compelling villain now. And, yeah, so I give it an 8. I give it an 8 for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go around the same rounds of it. I thought it was great. I really I loved the whole, everything they kind of did with it, and they sort of showed the whole background of, like, you know, a lot of Scarlet Witch's or Wanda's traumas that have caused her to get to this point. Right? And I feel like they don't really address that, and they never take the time or had the time really to address those issues in the movies.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, I'm gonna go maybe around the same range of like an 8 or a 9 out of 10. I mean, I really like the show. I thought the performances were great. I do find it funny though that the internet now has somehow discovered Catherine Hahn anyways, but any comedy fan would know that she's been around forever and killing it forever.
Well, she was really only good in Anchorman and Step Brothers. That's about it. So let's be
real. I
don't
know, man. She's funny in anything she does. No,
I'm just kidding. But yeah.
Okay, so that's your official Ginger Flicks and rating. All right. So then here's my question, since we are kind of extending our talks from earlier. Me and Josh talked about it during the mid-season discussion. There was like a lot of theories and things like that around this show, and that's kind of what drove some of the show a little bit further. It's like everyone was trying to figure everything out, and we talked about it too. Were some of your expectations like did they exceed or were they under what you were thinking when the show concluded?
For me, it was under, like, straight up. And I think that's the problem. Like, that's the problem. I mean, you know, when you watch, I'm trying to think of, I can't think of a specific show, but some people are like, if this show feels kind of pretentious, you know, I'm terrible right now because I can't give an actual example, but it's like, we are so used to the Marvel Universe being 2-hour movies, you know, average, maybe 2.5 hour, you know, for the bigger ones like Avengers and stuff. But we're used to these movies. You don't have to, you watch it all at once. You don't spend week to week guessing, trying to solve this mystery. And they made this movie like this show. Oh, snap.
Just keep going.
Okay.
Just keep going. Yeah.
They made this show like a Twilight Zone, Black Mirror-esque style of show. And each week we're guessing, okay, what's the mystery? What's the mystery? And then I feel like it didn't really pay off because they kind of gave it away anyway. They just said, Wanda did this, which she did. Then we're, you know, the biggest mystery for me was, who was this Pietro? You know, that was the best reveal in the show, I found.
Oh, that was upsetting, actually. I hated that.
But that was it. That was the best reveal. Like, when Evan Peters shows up, and I'm like, yes, because, you know, cool. We're going to merge this X-Men universe, or somehow it's going to get tapped in. And let me say, after the show is done. It's not necessarily true that he won't be Quicksilver, right? There's still a way with the multiverse, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, he's introduced, and then they pull another Iron Man 3 Mandarin-style thing. His name is Ralph Boner.
All for a boner joke.
Like, literally, it's a boner joke. I'm like, okay,
it's
cool.
Literally,
like,
all that. It's such a huge buildup for a dick joke.
Yeah, and I gotta admit, I only thought it was funny only because of the way Evan Peters reacted. But he just says, boner. Like, admittedly, I found that funny, but that's just him. But the whole reveal, I was like, you're joking me.
Yeah, it was kind of a slap in the face.
And it's like, what? So they gave, like, and then again, was it Agatha that gave him those powers? Like, it was just very vague in the way it was done. So, yeah. So, I mean, when you have a show like this now, because we're finding it out, WandaVision was something very new, but you're given a week to week, and it's only 20 or 25 minute episodes, which are really short, and you're left with us asking all these questions. You have a million Marvel fans, billion Marvel fans, trying to figure it out, and then you just say, no, there's no Mephisto, his name's Ralph Boner, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What? Like, people knew who Agnes was. Yeah. So it's like, you gotta give us something a little more unexpected, in my opinion.
But, okay, you have to think, though, yeah, there are a large contingent of Marvel fans that know who Agnes is, right? That know who Agatha Harkness is. But then you also have to look at it on the other hand of the people that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And for those that don't know, that's an even bigger reveal. Right? Like, people going in blind completely. Like, my dad watched all of WandaVision without watching a single Marvel movie. Wow. And I'm like, why did you do that? And he goes, I don't know, it was on. I'm like, okay, did you at least like it? He goes, yeah, it was okay. This is my dad saying he enjoyed something. All right. My dad usually doesn't say it was great. He usually says, yeah, it was okay. Right? But those little things like that, for somebody who's kind of going in blind, right? And that's one of the good things about WandaVision, or like these little this new thing that they're doing with the Marvel shows, is like, you kind of don't have to have watched the other properties. I mean, hell, episode 8 or 9 of the series gives you the entire backstory anyways.
Yeah.
Right? So It was, I feel like a lot of things in it, especially these reveals, were kind of catered to that specific group.
Yeah, they were catered to the people that are not diehard fans, that are the casual viewer.
Exactly, but that being said, though, it also got the diehard fans talking, saying, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, what about this or that? Yeah. So it...
No, I agree.
Its goal was achieved on both ends of the spectrum.
I think the problem is like, it's
you
like,
you have no patience. You were complaining to me before that you hate the fact that you can't binge through the whole series. Well, you, sir, have zero patience.
How dare you, first of all.
We're accustomed to the Netflix setting of everything just popped up.
But it's also different. Like, look,
in that, though, and enjoy the fact that, yeah, I have to wait. I have to anticipate the next episode. And what they've kind of done by releasing it on a weekly basis is brought back conversing about an episode to episode, which allows groups of people just to have more in-depth discussions about a show. Like we used to when we were kids, right? Well, I mean,
I think here's what I was gonna say. Like, here's the thing. I totally get that, because I mean, Netflix was, you know, is still the king of streaming in that, and then when they release a show or a season, they drop it all at once. You know, Cobra Kai, I finished it in like a few hours, you know, and it was great. I loved it, especially the drop season 3, loved it. But you have shows like The Boys. Right, which I have loved The Boys. The Boys is such a damn good show. But that's a week to week. They drop the first three episodes, and then it's week to week. And
but you have that one. I've complained about The Boys.
What's that?
You've complained to me for the same reason. You're like, why the fuck do I have
a liar and a coward? No, I am not a liar and a coward.
For The Boys, are the one who is lying. You have said the same thing. It's like, why the fuck do I have to wait? I want to finish it now.
Yeah, okay, but that's different. That's just because I'm so into it. And I'm like, I want it now. Like, that's the same thing with The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian, you are just along for the ride week to week, just like every other network TV show. But with WandaVision, they specifically layered it for like, oh, you've got to wait because we've got this cool reveal. And then plus you have the actors trolling the internet. You know, you have Paul Bettany. There's a cameo that's Luke Skywalker level. And we're going to be, I'm so excited to work with this actor. And he meant himself. It's like, dude, come on. You know, and it's just funny because, again, if people did that, like I said, I did enjoy the show. I'm not going to take that away. But it's because I feel like Marvel, people just give so much leeway to Marvel. You know, if DC did the same thing,
oh God,
people would lose their minds, and not in a good way. If any other thing, if Star Wars did the same thing, to be honest, and Star Wars has had a pretty bad track, except for The Mandalorian in the last, you know, 6-7 years.
Maybe
even though The Force Awakens made $2 billion.
Maybe even longer. The Force Awakens was promising, and then they kind of just
Exactly. So,
The Force Awakens was very much a fan service movie because it did everything the fans wanted, and then the next ones, the fans weren't too happy. So it's a weird dynamic that changed, and I think it's also because who was helming the projects, right?
The only thing that The Force Awakens didn't deliver, and to be honest, this is. Because I enjoyed The Force Awakens. Out of the three sequels, sequel trilogy movies, that's my favorite. But the only thing it didn't deliver, which as an old school Star Wars fan, you know, from the original trilogy, is that they didn't give us a scene, at least one scene, with all three original heroes. They needed to do that. That was the one thing people wanted, you know, besides the fact, like myself, I wanted Luke Skywalker to have a badass lightsaber duel, which we didn't get till The Mandalorian. But anyway, so that being said, going back to Marvel and WandaVision, Marvel is able to, is just given leeway and is just given like a pass to
Marvel's handle these
mysteries.
Marvel's leash is to mess with the fans. But Marvel's leash is so long. And it's just because they kind of never reacted to just fans being upset. I mean,
because
Warner Brothers and DC did what Marvel did in Iron Man 3 and just kind of crapped the bed with, you know, the Mandarin character, right?
Mm-hmm.
We already know what would happen. I mean, hell, DC and the Justice League and the whole world that Snyder kind of built was thrown away in one theatrical release. And again, if it wasn't for us fans, we wouldn't have what exists today now, because the Snyder Cut also just released along with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, big week.
It's a good week to be a comics fan.
Exactly, but I mean, if it wasn't for us, that would never have seen the light of day, and we would have just been stuck with
sadness.
What Josh. It's I can't even say sadness. It's just what I feel like. What happened there? Yes, but I feel like what happened there is Zack Snyder had to walk away from the project. And Warner Brothers saw it as an opportunity to put their hands all over something, because they obviously weren't happy with what Zack Snyder was doing. And if you have watched the Justice League, I don't know if anyone has or not, but you can tell it's very much made by a film buff. It's very like filmmaker, movie nerd. In certain aspects, from lighting, from the fact that the aspect ratio is a certain way, You know what I mean? The aspect ratio is 4:9. And that's because that's the closest on a home screen you can get to an IMAX.
Hmm.
Right? It's comparable. It's comparable ratio. And now I'm going into film theory and all this stuff, right?
But I'm going to it's very much for that.
It's very much it's very much film nerdy, right? Especially but that's the thing, right? And it was just and the only reason it exists is because we made a big stink that we found out there was a lot more footage that was just thrown away by Josh Whedon. So the audience made its thing, and it seems like us as an audience just give Marvel so much leeway. And even if we weren't happy, they still go ahead and make another movie, and that might end up being a hit, right?
Yeah, no matter what, they're averaging
exactly. But what came out after Iron Man 3? What was the next big Marvel movie?
Thor: The Dark World.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Was it Thor: The Dark World?
No, hold on. No. I think it was The Winter Soldier.
There you go.
And The Winter Soldier, for me, was a game changer.
Freaking smash. That's a hit, right? But
you know what kills me? What kills me is that, so you go to Iron Man 3, and they have that reveal. And again, I've seen Iron Man 3 twice, and it is the only Marvel movie that I've never finished. I've fallen asleep both times. I'm sorry, I do not like Iron Man 3. And, people now, they have reverted, and they're like, it's clever. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not clever at all.
It's not clever. It's not clever. But again, it goes back to...
That was the first Marvel...
Is it Thor: The Dark World? So essentially, and Thor: The Dark World was not well received either.
No, but that's one of the worst ones.
Exactly, but Marvel, instead of and again, this is a bit more of a comparison with DC, and I know we're going off topic from WandaVision, but if you compare the two properties, Marvel, they said, okay, Iron Man 3 was a little weak, and then, Thor wasn't great, but we got Winter Soldier coming out, and people are going to love it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's just, it's just been like, don't worry about what's being said. Let's just keep telling the story and not try to change things. DC, on the other hand, they hit a snag, they panic, they push the panic button, they change this, they change that, they change this. And then what ends up happening is we like the original plan anyways.
Look, the problem with DC in comparison to Marvel, this is the, in my opinion, this is the biggest problem. You have Kevin Feige with Marvel, who is a fan. And not only a fan, he understands the material and how to translate it to screen and make subtle changes, like little things. Or, for example, like Scott Lang being Ant-Man instead of Hank Pym, right? Little things like that, and the fans love it. DC has never really had someone at the helm being a fan, and a fan of all of the comics. Like, you had Zack Snyder, who he's a fan, but he's about making it his own vision as opposed to or getting the cool shot as opposed to development.
But that's what I mean when I say, like, Snyder's Justice League is very film nerdy. Snyder is a filmmaker first. Do you know what I mean? He's a film nerd and a film aficionado first before a comic fan.
Right.
And that's the major difference of it. Now, that being said, like, a film nerd like me, because I did go to school for film and television, I can appreciate what Zack Snyder's trying to do. And I can appreciate that vision. But then there are some comic fans that will see what Zack Snyder's trying to do and what Zack Snyder has done, and they'll freaking hate it.
Right? Rightly so.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You know what? All right. Okay, Sorry, go ahead, Jesus. We've taken over here.
No, it's fine. Let's kind of like roll back a little bit since we're kind of going into a Zack Snyder.
Part of it is because the movie just came out. And it's a lot going on.
There's a lot happening.
And we kind of pushed back talking about WandaVision, unfortunately. And I'm sorry to WandaVision about
No, it's fine. Because it's one of those things that you got to like take into effect because it's. It is the way Zack Snyder filmed his four-hour-long movie, and the way WandaVision was set up. Because for WandaVision, it was a tradition for the first few episodes. It's traditional television setting for every episode. I know some people did not enjoy it, but you could see it from every because I think there was like four directors in total, four or five directors. I'm gonna double check, but in total that were taking charge of every episode to kind of get that that level of accuracy.
I'll be honest with you, I loved the jump through the old styles of television slash the genres and stuff.
Thank you. I did too. Josh and my brother were like against it. I enjoyed it. Josh hates everything.
How dare you? It's not that I didn't like it. I did appreciate it. I just felt like it was being a little self-indulgent. Like, hey, get this. We're making it like Dick Van Dyke. Cool. I appreciate that. Get this. Oh, it's like Bewitched. Great. It was represented really well. But ultimately, I felt the payoff was not worth it. It was not worth that wait. You know, and I still feel like the first three episodes could have been one. You could have made it, instead of 20-minute sitcoms, make it a 45-minute, like, all right. One.
But for you, what was missing? Like, what was missing for you then? What more did you want?
You know what? It's been a while now since I've watched those episodes. It's just... I can't specifically say at this point now because it has been like 2 months or whatever.
It's because you couldn't binge everything all at once. I'm telling you.
Oh god.
You're right. It's one of those things that we're so used to just like either watching a 2 hour movie, getting that fill, and then we can easily talk about it. Or
it's the instant gratification. That's what it is.
I think also the problem. Okay, here's the problem. Like, I did enjoy it. I guess I'm just not one of those people that everyone loved it. People lost their minds and said this is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, it's not the greatest thing ever. It's good. Like, it's good, and I do appreciate that. Like, you know what? I guarantee you, if I go back now and I do binge the whole show, I probably will enjoy it more. But the fact, I just don't get how people were like, this is the best television ever. I'm like, it's good television. But Black Mirror did this.
It's also, we were also very starved from Marvel.
And I think that's what it was. Like, if we had gotten the Falcon and the Winter Soldier first, which is what we were supposed to get, I think by the time we got to WandaVision, everyone would have been like, oh, okay, this is interesting, the first few episodes. That's it. But instead, everyone was like, oh my god, new Marvel content. This is the best ever. And I'm like, no.
But then it goes back to the fact that we as an audience just give Marvel so much leeway.
And yes, I think that's my biggest issue.
They can release something that's utter garbage and we'll still love it.
Well, I don't think they can release utter garbage.
That's what I'm waiting for, man.
Some of those Marvel movies are not great.
Okay, how about this? I think we've talked about this. Not every Marvel's been great, but they've never been bad. They've been either okay or average. They've never fallen too far where it's like, they're bad.
Oh, true. Nothing is like a terrible movie.
Exactly.
Nothing on the level of, like, I'm trying to think of bad superhero movies. For me, a bad superhero movie is X-Men The Last Stand. Like, that movie is bad. It's bad. It's disappointing.
They haven't crashed that far down. But they haven't been great either. So there are some people that will sit there and tell you that every Marvel movie is a work of art.
Yeah. Oh, like for me.
Yeah, probably.
I think also the thing is, again, the last movie, you know, pre-Endgame was Captain Marvel, right? Made over $1 billion and not that good of a movie. Like, it's it has good moments. It's shot, it's filmed well. But all in all, it's not that great. But people were just so just want to know what's going to happen. They wanted anything, given a glimpse to Endgame, to see what was going to happen. So everyone went and saw Captain Marvel. And, you know, hey, it's cool to have a strong female character, but we already have that with Black Widow. We had that with, you know, even Wanda coming up and the Wasp and things like that. But hey, you have Captain Marvel. Oh, and she has to be the most powerful, but they made her so boring. And if you didn't like it, you're wrong. You know, like that's just the way it feels. If you are a fan of these films or this company, that if you don't like something that they produce, especially a female led film or TV show, I'm sorry. Like, I know, like, sorry, Jesus, you're gonna get canceled from this, but
no, it's fine, dude. If I get the views, like, that's all I got. The views of the listeners come.
It's just like, don't get me wrong, I'm come very excited.
Cancel all three of us. We're waiting.
But, like, I'm very excited for Black Widow. Like, I'm pumped to see that movie. I can't wait till whenever it actually comes out. But the problem is, like, Captain Marvel, I'm sorry, was not that. The most interesting part about that movie was a cat. Sorry. Yeah, interesting part of a movie?
It was a boring movie.
It was boring. But going back to WandaVision.
Well, yeah, that's because, Josh, you hate everybody. But going back to WandaVision.
Only children.
Especially children. Going back to WandaVision, though, I mean, I enjoyed the fact that it was a slow burn. I enjoyed that the first three episodes, you didn't quite know yet what you were looking at.
I think what would have been better is if they dropped the first three episodes.
Yes.
Not the first two. If they did the first three episodes and we got that hour, full-on hour straight of TV of Dick Van Dyke, Bewitched, Brady Bunch, and then you're like, oh, she's pregnant. What is going to happen? That reveal, then I would have been like, wow. It's just the ending of the second one, I believe, is when we saw the beekeeper and she sent him back. And you're like, okay, what's going on? You know, we saw the drone or whatever. We didn't really, I don't think we knew it was a drone at the time. We thought it was just like a toy helicopter or something.
Yeah.
Why was it in
color? Yeah, in color.
Yeah, like, it was a very small bit of mystery. Like, another thing I didn't understand, for example, in the first episode when his boss chokes and they made it very ominous, it was so strange, but I was like, why? I didn't get. Like, I get that the bad humor was forced and that's how it's supposed to be. Cool. Like, I enjoyed that. But I was like, what's going on? Why is he choking?
They never went back to that in any way.
I didn't really understand that at all. I was like, what's going on? Why aren't they helping him?
With him choking, bringing him out of Wanda's spell.
No, I'm trying to think of it as we're.
I don't get what it was, you know. So, and Deborah Jo Rupp being like, "Stop it, stop it, stop it." I was like,
"Okay, that one I do."
It was creepy. Like, I thought it was a cool visual moment.
Maybe it's just for us.
For the choking part, I think it was her letting out her power to kind of stop the situation from continuing his kind of his prying questioning, and then the whole his wife's character, that was the first moment that, now that we know that these people, even though they were being controlled, they were still like conscious. So it was literally, imagine, I don't know, thinking about it now, she's consciously viewing this guy die while just being like under a spell. And it's, when you think of that, really, really messed up. It wasn't.
Oh, yo,
that might be an accurate like thought of it. I mean, the truth is, there hasn't been enough, like, or I haven't had enough of a discussion with anybody about it, because that specific part is such a small part in the grand scheme of the entire series.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now coming back, it's probably just, you know, alluding to the fact that, yeah, they are still conscious during this.
They are conscious.
And it's like, but why is, but
And it's like, okay, how come he's being allowed to choke? Is he just asking too many? And it could be that Wanda just didn't like the amount of questions he was asking. And she sort of took it that route. And it's just to show, and I think it's also just to show that
yeah,
there is darkness here. This isn't a utopia, right? Because that's really the first dark thing that happens in the entire series.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was that it was her, it was Wanda that caused him to choke. And then that's why she's like, Vision, help him. Like, she didn't know. Maybe she was going to let him die or something, you know? That might be another thing like that. And then that changes the whole tone of the show, like that, or that, at least that episode. And like I said, by the end of WandaVision, in my opinion, Wanda has become a pretty compelling villain. And it's just funny because, you know, she does horrific things, like legitimately horrific things. She kidnapped a town, thousands of people, mind controlled them, and they were all literally tortured. By the end of this, they're gonna have PTSD for like the rest of their lives.
Or mutants.
But I mean, the point is, everyone, like when she walks out of the town and everyone's like, that is so awkward, that scene. And then you have Monica Rambeau, they'll never know what you sacrificed. I'm like, she sacrificed a fake family. I understand that's sad, but she tortured thousands of people.
And including Monica Rambeau for a bit.
That was unintentional because she wasn't part, but yes, including Monica Rambeau, and then including the other agents and scientists when she expanded the hex, right? So, I mean, it's compelling, but it's weird how we look at people that, like, they just sympathize with her and they forgive her. But I'm like, could you imagine if someone tortured a town nowadays, but we don't know their story? So we're like, oh man, that person's terrible. But if you found out their backstory, we'd probably still be like, no, that person's terrible.
Oh,
but because imagine you have a guy or a girl, they torture a town in real life.
I still think Wanda, for as much as WandaVision has, like, we've been given Wanda's full backstory now, like a full build-up to her character, and for as much of a hero she has been from her villain now, as much as I've enjoyed her being this female hero, to knowing that how deeply depressed and pained she is, to do that to the people. Even though we've had an incident before in Age of... No, wait. What was the movie?
It would have been Ultron.
Ultron. Age of Ultron. No, not Ultron. Where they had the government kind of told her, hey, you need to seal her up. Was it Civil War? Yeah, Civil War. Yeah, the Sokovia Union. So that point where she... It wasn't her fault in truth, she was still trying to protect the people, but
when Crossbones exploded?
Yes.
That wasn't her fault.
Exactly. Like, but it was just collateral damage. But this one, she, even though it wasn't on purpose, she still scarred thousands of people. And I still, for as much as I want to sympathize with her, no, you did something horrible. Normally, you should be paying for that. But no, she just gets away scot-free. And
yeah,
no, that I feel is a true villain for
but
me.
It goes,
and that's a good build up.
She's like on villain. Thanos level. She's on Thanos level for me.
But it also goes back to like the superhero movie tropes anyways. I mean, realistically, you know, superheroes should be held accountable for at least the damage they inflict.
That's the thing, right? Because, well, like, I never understood that, for example, that in Civil War, which, again, I've said this so many times, is in, like, my top three films in the MCU, But she gets imprisoned because Crossbones blew up and took out part of that building. But he was going to blow up anyway. Like, this is what I never understood. He was going to blow up anyway, and she tried to get him away from the crowd. And he still took out part of a building and killed some people. But he was going to, like, that part to me, I will never understand, because it doesn't make sense. She tried to help, and it didn't necessarily work.
To steal from screen, it's not like she's so the movie can happen.
Exactly. It's so the movie can happen. And then her being imprisoned and all that, you know, Vision not letting her leave, etc. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that kind of bugged me.
Yeah, it's just... Like with the end of it now, do you think they are going to set her up as a villain? Is that what you think the goal is now?
Yeah, definitely.
I think she's going to be an anti-hero. I don't think she can be a full villain. Like, she's not going to be... We saw at the end that she hears her children crying out for her. So that's going to tie in with the multiverse. She's probably going to do some stuff to get those kids, and it's going to hurt people.
I have a fun fan theory that I've been... Since we know that Mephisto is not going to be a thing.
A part of the world, yeah. And if he is, it probably won't be till, like, the multiverse.
I don't think... Well, I think I've told Josh this. I don't think they will, because of how
Marvel... How things were set up in...
No, it's just the way, marketing-wise, they wouldn't be able to showcase this film in China. China is very restrictive in lore behind, like, devils and ghosts and stuff like that.
Really?
Yes. I'll send you a link of videos
that kind of
explains. Yeah, so they will, and since Mephisto is basically the personification of the devil, I don't think we'll almost never see it. Well, hopefully.
The Chinese market does have huge clout over the film industry. I mean, it's the reason why the James Bond is still yet to be released.
Exactly. So right? This is what I think they'll do, something else. Kind of like the way they did Dormammu for Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
Now that we know that WandaVision has the Darkhold, knowing some of the lore behind the Darkhold, I feel we're going to be getting C'Thun, and I think that works for lore expansion, because now we're getting into the worlds with Dormammu, C'Thun. We already had. Thor's sister, what's her name?
Hela,
even though she's dead. But for the most part, we think she's dead, right? Right? For the most part?
She's Hela.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then Surtur, things like that. So we have a lot of the dark universe part expanded.
And we're getting, what is it, Kang?
Yes, that's going to be the... That's what I'm hearing, is going to be the next big villain, which works, because we're getting into these time travel, multiversal stuff that everyone's changing. And I like that, because we're getting to some more new territory. We need the next new bad guy. And what better way than Kang the Conqueror? And mostly with this new generation of heroes we'll be getting in the next five to eight years, I think. Probably get to the finale, which I'm fine with, you know.
As long as it's just continued to be handled well, right? Like,
exactly.
I just want to see how, if they continue, like, because obviously WandaVision was a clear setup, or it's supposed, like, WandaVision, Doctor Strange 2, and Spider-Man 3 are all supposed to be like one story, you know. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it pays off, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So then getting into the WandaVision show, what was the some of the best parts you enjoyed, and what was some of the worst parts that you did not enjoy in the total show?
For me, you know what I really... Okay, here's the thing. This is what I actually really enjoyed, because, you know, we can talk about, for me, plot holes that, again, I find that Marvel is just allowed to have as opposed to other films. But one thing I really enjoyed, and it was only on the second viewing of the finale, was Vision talking to Vision. Yeah. I had no idea where they were going with that when I first watched it, because, you know, they have this really cool fight. Of course, you got to have, like, you know, a big battle in the finale. And I did enjoy the fight. You have these two perfect androids fighting each other. So it's like the way they filmed their, you know, the phasing powers and their strength was great. But it was finally when they had this, like, philosophical talk, I was like, that was actually so well done. You know, it's like, but I'm not Vision. Explain yourself. Would you, and then I forget how he says it, but would you, you know, take this ship and then rearrange it? Is it still the same ship? And yada, yada, yada. And I love that. And then when he, you know, gives the spectral Vision, his memories back. Again, I thought that was handled really well. I loved that. I thought that was some of the coolest dialogue. And I don't even know why I enjoyed it so much. I just thought it was something very different. Like, we don't have those philosophical kind of talks in Marvel movies. I really enjoyed it.
Rarely get a philosophical talk like that in any action movie, really.
Yeah, so I thought that was great.
Right? So the whole conversation itself is questioning of existence, right?
Because exactly.
It's a very metaphysical conversation, and mm-hmm. it's like almost like if
and
it, the whole thing itself, right? Where it's like Vision, in order to connect with White Vision, he had to. It wasn't about Braun. It was about, like, relating to him on introspective and intelligence level, mm-hmm. rather than just, like, kicking the crap out of each other, which, you know, you never get that in an action movie. It was just kind of refreshing and even more interesting to see than just an all-out brawl.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I thought, because I did enjoy their fight, but then that talk was, I was like, oh, that's how you end a fight. I was like, damn, that's good. And then I gotta say, I for me, the whole final interaction between Wanda and Vision, that gutted me. Like, gutted me. When he's literally like, what am I? And then she's like, you're, you know, the part of the Mind Stone that's in me, but then you're my hope and sadness and... Whew, I was like, no, you can't do that
whole,
to me. That
bit from her saying goodbye to the kids to that was, that was like,
also
threw all over the floor on that one.
If the one kid could read minds, which one was it, Tommy or Billy? Whoever it was, the one kid,
Tommy,
right? He had her powers. Did he know he was about to be wiped out of existence?
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Like, again, that whole final interaction, I thought, okay, you know what? More than any battle, more than anything, that was great. And if there is some justification to Wanda's actions, it's right there. All of that, I was like, okay, that hurts. That hurts. And I could not help but feel for her. And man, when he's just slowly vanishing and just says, goodbye, my darling. Oh, whew.
Yeah. That's good writing for you. That's good writing for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, like, I do nitpick and I harp on the stuff that I will. But then there are moments like that I was like, that is just as good. You know, that writing, that interaction is beautiful. And I was like, that will live on. For me, those moments will live on in the show.
Something that helps WandaVision moreover than anything is that we have sort of been on a journey with these two characters, albeit their two characters have been smaller in previous projects or previous ventures with them. But this is a first, like, up close look that we get, and especially. More so to, you know, Wanda Maximoff, to give us much more of an in-depth look at the character and a much more revealing look too, because
let's face it, aside from what little we picked up in Age of Ultron, we didn't know much about her. We didn't know anything, right? Yeah. And this sort of gives us, like, and it shows us how heartbroken she really is and how vulnerable she really is and how just on the edge of everything she really is, because she is teetering on that point. And it's like, you know, if she does become a villain, right, this is definitely the whole starting point and the obviously launch pad for it. But it all goes back to what caused her to do what she did, like her caused her to do what she did in this, right? And it all goes back to what we saw from Age of Ultron and forward. Like, so we have a relationship with these two characters, specifically Wanda and Vision, and you get an even more closer look at that here, and then to have that ending scene, it's, I mean, I'm not a big Titanic fan, but the end of that movie, it's kind of the same ending, right? Where he sacrifices himself for her, essentially.
Right? I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
And it's just, but it's a classic movie trope that when done well, it tears you up. Like it rips your heart out. Yeah. When it's done very well.
I think this one, yeah, nailed it.
It did. Yeah. Overall, I think we all agree that it's for the buildup and closing from where they began roughly 6 years ago when we got first introduced to WandaVision, to the buildup of everything we've gotten to, then get to this point after she's lost everything, and then we're getting a full, for the most part, a full backstory on her, even though we've only gotten little bites here and there throughout the films. Mm-hmm. Now finally getting to understand her more after and while grieving, I think for as much as they've done, I think they've showcased that Wanda is a very, very, for as much of her meta powers as she's a very relatable character at a human level of someone who has lost and who has tried to grieve. Like this entire miniseries was basically the first, like I forget the steps. First is like grieving. Next is accepting.
Denial. It's denial, anger,
bargaining.
I can't remember.
I remember.
Acceptance is the last one.
There's five steps, right?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
But I know denial is a big one.
And I think at this point now we're at the point where she's now learning about herself, and now kind of dipping into a way to find that happiness again, and I think
also there is another Vision out there.
That's the thing that kind
she of doesn't know that bit. Yet though. She thinks sure. The other thing too. She doesn't know that the new Vision has Vision's actual memories. To her,
no,
this is just a clone, right?
To her, she doesn't know. That's what I was like, where did he go?
That's the one thing I did not enjoy about the whole thing as a whole, is like, that's, he's there, really good, like we mentioned earlier, a really good battle of, like, battles of physical and then of the mind, but then after it's kind of concluded, gone. And nothing he just leaves. Up again. And
I'm like, where'd you go, dude?
I think that's one thing I did not enjoy about the series. It was just gone. At least I would have enjoyed at least something like, oh, we're currently like searching for the White Vision or anything. Just something, some background information, anything.
I thought
he was just gone.
Like, I thought what was gonna happen, he realized he's like, I am Vision. I thought he was gonna go to Wanda. Go back to Wanda. Be like,
actually,
it's okay, it's me or something like that. And I thought, you know, maybe she was gonna try and merge the two.
Maybe like that's something. The setup though. Maybe that's obviously what the setup is for the next time we see Wanda.
So yeah, I just hope that the new Vision is utilized well. That would be my concern.
I don't think he won't be. I mean, one thing Marvel has done well is they haven't, aside from Quicksilver, they haven't really wasted characters.
Well, I don't
at least
know.
At least heroes, anyways.
My problem with Vision in the first place is that I felt he was the most underutilized Avenger. He got taken out so easily in Infinity War. I don't know. He was good in Ultron in that, in the final battle and all that, but still, same thing. I just felt he is supposed to be really powerful, especially when he had the Mind Stone.
Yeah, they made him kind of a weakling.
They made him pretty weak. I was like, he should be in the top, one of the top Avengers easily. Now,
I think there's one of those things that it's also his story was also in the back burner a lot. He wasn't giving himself a full story.
But because Vision really was a back burner character to begin with, going from Jarvis to then
they
Vision.
They made him a chef. Okay, he made Pepper Cash, and that was it.
Yeah, exactly. He was just a back burner character. He really was never going to be brought to the forefront. I mean, let's face it, Marvel's got too many characters to bring everybody to the forefront, right? Sort of the same thing with DC. These comic books and these comic book characters are like these massive worlds, and you kind of have to pick and choose who you're going to get to sort of lead it. And let's face it, going from a Hollywood standpoint, I don't think Hollywood thought Paul Bettany could, lead a series or a show up until after he got Vision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now for stuff that I didn't like, I mean, there is, there's a fair amount, but the two things, like, just going to go into the finale. Number one was, how did she know how to make the runes? That blew my mind. I was like, all of a sudden she turned the hex into runes. I was like, when did you learn that? You heard about them, but it's I've heard about a lot of things. I've heard about aerospace engineering. I don't know how to be that. I don't know how to do that.
It's because you're not smart enough.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, how did
Jesus and I could figure it out in a weekend? Come on, Josh.
Yeah,
get your head out of your ass.
Hey,
stick it together.
I look at the Mona Lisa and just redraw it a week later.
Exactly. You know what? I can etch a sketch.
Takes you a week.
Let's be real.
A week.
Week. I got a lot of things to do.
I can do it in 15 minutes. What are you talking about? A week.
More power to you.
So that was one. I mean, the one thing I was.
How dare you?
So the one thing I was thinking is, okay, maybe she read her mind and figured out how to do it. I thought that was a possibility, but hey, what do I know?
And then, she did it so the movie could end.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. And then the other thing is what they did to Hayward. Because, Hayward was a dick. You know, we saw that. But that's about it. Then they turned him full on comic villain, sort of at the end. And I didn't like that because really at the end of the day, he was going to kill Wanda because she was torturing thousands of people. Valid. Yeah. Sorry.
Wanda was in the wrong here. Wanda is the villain of the show.
But then all of a sudden they have him point his gun or shoot children. You're like, oh, okay. He's a villain now.
I'm kind of on board with.
What's that?
I'm kind of on board with those actions.
Well, I mean,
why not? Children are terrible people.
Oh, I thought you meant you were on board with him like going to jail. I was like, kids? Okay. Yeah,
exactly.
I think
cancel us. I'm telling you, cancel us.
like I said, I think we said this also earlier. He was the typical trophy villain. Like, oh, I'm gonna do it my way. Kick out everyone who's not following.
A villain. He was a foil. Yeah. He's like that general in a movie that like doesn't do things. He's like foiling one of the protagonists, but he doesn't have evil intent. So he's foiling them, and then he realizes what they were doing was the right way to do it. You know, I can't think of anything. There are probably so many, and I can't think of it offhand. I don't know, a senator or whatever in Independence Day that knew about Area 51. Like, he's just a dick, but he slows. he halts the progression because he's telling them to stop. So he's not necessarily a villain. He's just a foil. You know, he's like the jock. He's like Flash Thompson in Spider-Man, right? Okay. He's just a dick to the main character. But he's not really bad. But then they turned him into the comic book villain by having him like shoot at kids. You're like, ah, come on.
Okay, yeah. That's like kind of where I was getting at. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, you know, just so you could have Kat Dennings like drive into his car or whatever.
I'd let Kat Dennings drive a car into me.
Also,
I'd welcome it.
Her character just disappeared afterward, too. That was it. That was the last scene with her.
What I don't get is what took her so long to get past that light?
You know,
there was what like,
took Vision so long to get there? He flew. Yeah. It's like 4 miles. He could do that in a second.
Do you not know how long those interviews take?
What's that?
Do you not know how long those interviews take to shoot?
Oh, right, because it was a modern family trope.
No, he was shooting that. But okay, let's say by the time
even like halfway through it, he finally realized what he was doing. It's like, wait, yeah, and then he went back in the car. Why are you falling into this?
But then he went back into the car. He didn't even fly from the interview. He went back into the car, and then he's like, bye. And that was, I think, just when Wanda was going into the basement. And then it took him...
That's getting to timeline stuff. I don't know.
But either way, like, her just having a small conversation with Agatha, he would be there. Like, that kind of... Like
fairly quickly.
That kind of... That got me. I was like, dude, how slow are you?
True. Joey. All right, Joey, your turn. What were some of the positive and negatives for you?
Positives. They did a lot of good things. I do like how, you know, both... We have a much more fleshed out version of Wanda, and I said that already. Like, some negative things were, I was kind of annoyed about the whole shit at the end of it, right? I mean, payoff. I mean, other than that, like, thought certain things were better, certain episodes were better than others.
True.
Again, I was left wanting more episode. I was like, okay, I can't wait for next week. Right, so I also enjoyed that part of, and liked Mandalorian is because, do you know what I mean? It's a week to week type.
But Mandalorian,
there was no, is like those old type of gunslinger western type shows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hero comes into town, saves the day, moves on, goes to the next town,
right? Yeah.
And there's like a slight arc that continues across the board for
yeah, him, right? It's very like episodic.
Yeah,
is the thing.
Okay. Then getting kind of closing up this. So now that we're kind of moving into the future now, into what Wanda will be holding because of the two end credit scenes. Because there's one thing they didn't really show off Monica. They had that one scene, use her powers, but once that happens, her character kind of died down. But we did get that end credits with her going to space in Captain Marvel 2, which will be interesting moving forward. I wish they showcased her a little bit more besides that one thing, just one more during the whole battle scene, her helping the kids a little bit more.
I think it was more just to tease you of like, oh, this is what's coming next, and sort of just to give you a little taste and to get you excited for the next Captain Marvel movie, because let's be honest, a lot of people aren't excited about it.
No, I also thought she was utilized like just enough, just I don't know, because I don't know much about her character. And I know that she, in the comics, I believe was Captain Marvel herself at one point. And then she was like Photon or Proton or something like that.
Photon,
right?
They had and, like five names, yeah.
Yeah, so like, she, it really wasn't necessarily about her, but she was already becoming that. I guess one problem I have is when you have characters like Wanda, for example, like I love, like don't get me wrong, I enjoy Wanda, but her powers are so vague that she can do anything. And Monica Rambeau, it seemed like the same thing at that point. She was getting these powers, she could just stop bullets, she could, I don't know, Wanda threw her and she's like, I don't know. So I don't know her powers, I don't know what she's like. And my concern would have been, you throw her into the battle, like full on, like let's say against Wanda or against Agatha, and she could just do anything. Like, you don't really know what she can do yet. So I'd rather her take some time. And because I also felt that the one episode we have where it was just following her, it was good, but it slowed down the story. You know, the first episode coming back from the snap was great. Like that first prologue moment, that was awesome. I love that. But it needed to jump way ahead. But it was just to introduce Hayward and bring back, hey, they brought back Jimmy Woo, which I was so down with because he was great. So I don't know. I was fine with the amount that she was used in the finale. Really make it more about Wanda and Vision at this point. You know?
Okay. I see your point.
Like, she's still just a secondary character at this point. You know what I mean? But that being said, we've learned with Marvel over the years that it doesn't matter. Secondary or a lead, you're going to get enough time. I mean,
yeah, you're going to be showcased properly.
Yeah, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and WandaVision are two examples of it, right? I mean, up until this point, you don't see very much of either of those two guys. And then all of a sudden, they have their own television series.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, Falcon was prevalent in, the second two Captain America movies, but
still,
yeah,
that's about it. Supporting role.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right now, both Wanda and those two guys, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Now, they have full on lead. And you get more of a backstory. And I'm going to be honest with you, I personally think Bucky's backstory is one of the more interesting ones out of everybody.
Yep. I can't wait. Like, when we talk about this, I cannot wait. I love the Winter Soldier. I would argue
out of the three, right, between Wanda, Bucky, and Falcon, Falcon has the least interesting story. I would argue it.
So far, I mean,
I'm just going off of, you know, speculation, but just at face value, he's got the least interesting because he's really just a soldier with cool tech.
Yeah, well, that's right? True. That's what we know so far.
And, you know,
he says it right in Winter Soldier. I can do what he can do, just slower. And that's it. You're like, yeah, but he's so good. Like, I think Anthony Mackie.
Oh, no, I've got no issues with the performance. I think all three of them are great.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sebastian Stan is such a good actor, and he should get more work aside from Marvel movies. But, you know, he does. And either if it's indie stuff or we haven't seen it or anything like that, but I know he's really good. Same with everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
True. All right. So I think we finished up our discussion on WandaVision. We've all, for the most part, we had our nitpicks and our stuff. We're looking forward to whatever is about to come in the coming few years. Because I think Doctor Strange comes out next year, and we get Spider-Man this year. So we'll see a little bit more happening this year. So I'm hoping. Let's hope for good things.
I'm hoping, hey man, you know what? I don't know if we're going to talk about this, but just quickly, Spider-Man 3 is supposed to come out. You know, the whole rumors with Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. And I you know what? I feel like I just me saying this, I'm going to be
Spider-Man Home Fries?
Exactly. No, no. Sp- Spider-Man Home Slice, I think is what it is, right?
I wish.
Home Skillet, maybe?
The name still gets me, the actual name, but we'll see.
What is the actual name? No Way Home, right?
No Way Home.
But okay, so for me, the one thing I hope is that you have the three Spider-Man in there. And I don't really care about Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man that much. I like the first one. Second one was... But Tobey Maguire, I just want him redeemed. Like, I want his Spider-Man to come in. He's like, what, 45, 47 now? Like, dude is, you know... Dancing. Well, that's it. Spider-Man 3 was another... Like, it was still a good movie, but it's just disappointing out of those original...
What was good about it?
Wait, what if they do, like, old man Spider-Man, kind of like they did in Into the Spider-Verse, where it's an older Spider-Man?
But that's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm thinking he's going to be that kind of Spider-Man, and I just want him to have some sort of redeeming moment where, you know, if it ends up him having to sacrifice himself so everyone else can live in the multiverse, whatever it is. I just hope that they don't shoehorn this iteration of Spider-Man into a movie just to disrespect him. Like, that's my hope. Anyway, so I'm hoping we get a good action sequence with him, and then whatever happens, if it ends up being that he has to go back to Mary Jane because they've been broken up, or that she's dead and that's why he sacrifices himself, who knows? Whatever it may be, I just hope that he is handled well. Like, I'm sorry, I want to see a moment where, like, Tom Holland is, like, on the ropes. These guys, whatever villain he's fighting is beating him, and then boom, Tobey Maguire comes in, takes the guy out, and he's like, I got this, kid, or something. And I'd be like, yes, let's do this. I'm in.
Or he's just going to hurt his back.
He might.
All right.
I don't want Jake Gyllenhaal to take over.
That's what delayed the last two movies. His last two movies was his back injuries.
Ooh. No, it was just the second one.
Was it the second one?
Yeah,
I think he still had some issues in the third, but not as much.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But he was.
Anyway. All right. Any final thoughts for our WandaVision extended discussion?
Nah, man, I'm good.
I want to know what's more. I want more. I'm kind of sad they're not going to do any more episodes of WandaVision, according to what they said. They should
have made it a 3 company for the next season, and they have both visions, and it's WandaVision. Right? Yeah, like, why didn't they do that?
They just say, it would reverse.
Or you make it like a Big Bang Theory, and you have both Visions and Wanda being like, you guys are dumb. You guys are nerds.
A fun blooper episode. Just like, okay, this is just for fun.
Why didn't they do a Seinfeld episode?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Come on. You can't do sitcoms and not have Seinfeld. Are you joking me? Get it together. They had Malcolm in the Middle. Please. Please. Please.
I'm trying to think how they would do that, but all right.
No, you have Catherine. Because okay, who is the neighbor, the guy?
I know who you're talking about.
Randy or something.
Roy or Randy or
like, yo, if you had a Seinfeld where you have Wanda, Vision, Agnes, and Randy like sitting in the coffee shop, I would have been down. Would have been down.
Like a full conversation.
Of nothing to do.
Or they also missed out with Vision at his office.
Could have done The Office.
Get Steve Carell to make a cameo? Come on, people. Like, get your lives together, Marvel. What are you doing?
What you do is you get everybody there. Like, I feel like this is what the show should be now. And I kind of hoped it was going to be that, where it was like just them doing different old sitcom tropes or sitcom styles, right? And it kind of was. But, you know, I wouldn't have minded to see a whole Office sequence where you have Steve Carell, you know, Rain Wilson, and then, you know, Vision and Wanda just play the Jim Halpert and Pam Beasley characters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly.
Okay.
Come on.
So, or he just does that look at the camera.
And then you could have had Evan Peters playing, like, the Ryan character. What are you doing, WandaVision? Start over.
Get your life together.
All right, guys. As people should see, they should have us in the writing room at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Make everything so much better.
Service by not having us.
Come on.
But yeah, it looks like we're looking forward to so much. There's so much potential that could have happened, but we've enjoyed what they showcased to us, and we'll see what that will delve in, because now there is something with us right now with Falcon and Winter Soldier, and that's already started to be an interesting thing. So we'll be discussing that in another episode, so look forward to that one. But for WandaVision, it was a ride. It took a little time to begin for a lot of people, but it was worth it towards the end for its final conclusion and where its possibilities might happen. Any final words and shout-outs for you guys?
Final words are, for me anyways, thanks for having us. It's always fun coming on the show. And
yes, sir. You know,
you're always welcome on our show.
Even couldn't get his life together to start it. So.
Oh, you son of a... I know, we spent like an hour trying to figure out my issues, and we didn't even get it fully figured out. And I'm kind of sorry about that, but that's another story. At least you have, you know, your editors
your
that
sexy
will fix
face.
It. You'll see my face soon enough. But yeah, other than that, give Gingerflix a listen, and we're on what, Josh? Spotify, Google Podcasts.
Yeah, Spotify, all the you know, podcast platforms, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, etc. And if you want to follow us on social media, we're on everything, you know, Gingerflix on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, all the good stuff.
So. All right.
And it's Gingerflix with an X, right, Josh?
Because X marks the
marks ginge. The ginge.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining me, and everyone listening, thank you for enjoying this ride with us, and hope you continue to join us on our next adventure, continuing on with the Marvel Universe, because it's not going to end now. We'll probably continue talking until the day one of us perish.
Never.
If not, our ghosts
so
will continue.
So we got one more week. Because
all right, guys. Thank you. I've
made the promise that I will never die.
Not until it's like over.
That's because I sacrificed my life for you, Joe.
All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening. See ya.